Howdy. Jesus loves Thursdays. I think it's his favorite day. I'm so glad to see all of you here. It's good to see Carol. I know that Carol and Edith worship the Lord by cleaning this place, fixing it up, bringing honor to him. I'm very grateful for that act of worship. This is the scripture that really caught my attention in John 8 that Father Brett read. Let's see if I can find it. Again, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he's led to telling them that they don't know him. They were saying that Abraham was their father, and he was telling them that the devil was actually their father, and that they were listening to lies, didn't know the truth, didn't know God. And Jesus says in verse 55, And you have not come to know him, but I know him, talking about the Father. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him. And I keep his word. In chapter 7, he said something similar to this. Verse 29, I know him because I am from him and he has sent me. And then one more scripture. So Jesus is making it really clear to them that he knows the Father. He talks about his relationship with the Father. This is verse 25 and 26, 27 of Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you did hide these things from the wise and the intelligent, and did reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for this is well-pleasing to your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. The great act of grace from which all of the grace flows, but the great act of grace, the act of grace, Jesus united us to himself. That's the great act of grace. Every other grace in the Christian life flows from our being in union with Jesus, our oneness with Christ. One of the more powerful expressions of that grace, the gift of God, is that because we've been united to Christ, Jesus said, no one knows the Father but him, and to whom he wills to reveal the Father to. So in the fact that he knows him, he's the only one who knows him, but guess what? When you were raised up with Jesus in union with him, this is the reconciliation part. Like, we were at enmity with God, our sin, all that kind of stuff. That person was crucified, sins were paid for, person crucified, buried, and then raised up now in Jesus. The reconciliation is, now I have his relationship with the Father. Now, that's an amazing thing, that Jesus shares his relationship with the Father. A guy told this story, and I was reading it again today. This happened some years ago, and he has a son who's in his probably 30s now, but he was like six or seven years old. And this guy who's a theologian, he was just in his den taking a day off and going through some mail and stuff. And all of a sudden, he looked around the corner and he saw his son. They had put camouflage on their face. He had a helmet on. He had gun, you know, plastic gun, all that kind of stuff. And another little boy dressed the same way, who this man didn't even know, but he was obviously a friend of his son's. And they just came running in the den and just drove on top of him, hit him. And this whole wrestling match was happening. His son was laughing and cutting up, and the little boy was laughing and cutting up. And God began to speak to him. And he said, this little boy doesn't know you. And yet look at the freedom he's experiencing and the joy that he's participating in. It's because of your relationship with your son. And because of your relationship with your son, this little boy has been invited to participate in that. And therefore, he feels comfortable. He's at some level, what you feel for your son's rubbed off on him. What you think about your son, he's thought that way too. The acceptance, the celebration of your own son, those feelings of that is rubbed off on this little boy, so he feels so comfortable. But if your son weren't here, he wouldn't be comfortable at all, because you'd be like a stranger to him. That's why when I say things like, Jesus is your prayer life, Jesus is your intimacy with God, we were brought near, Ephesians 3 says, because we were brought in Christ. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, humanity, all of humanity, but only those who receive him, get to experience this, but in terms of objectively, in terms of what he accomplished, all of humanity, fallen humanity, died on the cross with him, and he took humanity in his humanity. See, his humanity was yours and mine. It's a multicolored humanity. It looks like Edith, it looks like Abby, it looks like Carol, it looks like Bill, it looks like me. All that's there in him. And when he rose from the dead and in his ascension, he took us into the throne room. And in the person of Christ, we get to participate in his relationship with the Father by the Holy Spirit. That's amazing to me. So it means that I have the freedom to talk to the Father. I don't have to have any fear of ever being rejected. So I have the freedom to communicate with him, to celebrate him, to worship him. I don't have to be anxious in front of him. I have Jesus's place, Jesus's position, Jesus's relationship with the Father. And the more we get that consciousness, it begins to rub off on us. Then we begin to feel what Jesus feels, how he feels the Father feels about him. That's a game changer. When you begin to enter into feeling what Jesus feels concerning how the Father feels about him, you're united to him. So you get to participate in that. That's part of your inheritance. That's part of being a co-heir with Christ. That you have, as much as the Father, how much does the Father not just accept Jesus, but celebrate who he is? You get to enjoy that. That's real about you. That's because it's real about him. It's all grace. That's why the solution to fallen humanity and reconciliation of humanity to God, so brilliant that God wouldn't just become a human, take it all up in him and fix it all up in him. And so that we're now like locked in with his son. And then once you've become a Christian, that becomes subjectively yours. But so few Christians get that. They're trying so hard. You know, he said, like one of the things this guy said in the story, he said, like if his son wasn't there, this boy might set aside and think of all the things he needs to do to find my approval so he could be that free. And he said, we're all so bent on doing all the, having our own independent relationship with the Father. And therefore, what are all the things we got to do to find acceptance and to experience his celebration and passion for us? Instead of enjoying the fact that you have now been invited, you now share in Jesus' relationship with the Father. Now, there are going to be things that you do, but it's not to earn favor. How much favor is on Jesus as far as the Father? Is there anything that the Father would refuse him? We pray in whose name? Jesus' name. Could you and I actually experience the amazing passion in terms of the love of the Father? Yes, for Jesus, that's mine to share in? Yes. Jesus said that no one knows the Father except him. But he was saying that, but if you come to me, you'll actually join yourself to me. And what I know about the Father, you get to know. And how the Father feels about me, you get to feel. How the Father thinks about me, you get to think about yourself. That's why we say Jesus is the truth about who you are. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.